It is one bell once again of the afternoon watch on a Tuesday afternoon, and this is your Captain Joe up in the captain's chair for our weekly time together. I do this every week from Voice of Vashon 101.9 on the FM band and streaming live all over the world from Stockholm in the Kingdom of Sweden on one side of the world to Singapore on the other. And I really do have live family in both of those places. And I am working a plan to be able to go visit both of those places probably after the new year. There is a challenge in particular to getting to Singapore. The other way that you can hear me is streaming live on Voice of Vashon, voiceofvashon.org. And if your particular time zone does not allow you to listen to me live, then we work really hard, thanks to the lovely Susan, who works her electronic magic for me at the end of my broadcast so that the programs are archived and we try to get them up the same day that the broadcasts are actually sent out to you live so that you can hear us. Because I happen to know that if, in fact, one of the broadcasts is not up on the archives within a relatively short period of time, I really do hear about it. So, thanks to Susan and to Voice of Vashon for all of the good work to make sure that the program gets archived as soon as possible. So, the binnacle list has this week two entries of people who cross the bar. That is, of course, one of the ways that people leave the binnacle list. The first one is a personal one. My academy classmate, my good friend for as many years as he and I served together. We never actually were in the same command together, but we were at the academy together, Bill Rowland. His father was commandant of cadets during our cadet years, and then he became the commandant of the Coast Guard. He was, his dad was a wonderful, wonderful commandant, and one of the things that he did was to begin the whole business of providing family quarters for, in particular, our enlisted personnel. And some of that goodness rubbed off on both of his sons, both of whom are Academy graduates. And Bill was doubly vaccinated, but he had a number of other things going on. And so he was taken down by the virus. And so to Elena, from all of us in our academy class, we send you our sadness and our thoughts. The second one is one that is much more controversial, and that is the crossing of the bar of General Colin Powell. I'm not going to get into the discussions of the things that he did during the time after he left the Army. He finished his Army career as the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff. And but I am going to comment briefly on his work in Vietnam. I have the book for the day is, in fact, Colin Powell's autobiography. It's called My American Journey. And significantly enough, it shows the photograph of him on the cover shows him wearing the four stars of his general's rank. He, of course, served not only as the chairman of the Joint Chiefs while he was still a serving officer, but he then was the National Security Advisor, and he was also the Secretary of State. It was in those latter positions that his more controversial work was done, and I choose not to get into that. His book, My American Journey, does not carry his life beyond the time that he was the National Security Advisor. But it covers in some detail his time in Vietnam. I'm going to read you a little passage from that book, but my commentary is that as he writes his own autobiography, what comes through loud and clear to this old sailor is that he was both a compassionate commander, what I like to refer to as one of the good captains, and that he cared a great deal about his people. And so I salute him as a brother in arms, as well as having served for so many years, served his country all the way up to his death just a few days ago. Now I want to read a passage from his book that talks about the death of one of his friends. And he goes on, he was watching a program some years ago, narrated an NBC documentary narrated by Frank McGee entitled Same Mud, Same Blood, dealing with blacks in the military in Vietnam. And he's talking about his friend Tony Mavroidis. And there was a film clip in this program that McGee had put on. And this is the way that General Powell writes about it. There was Tony in jungle fatigues, driving home the program's message. Race did not matter out here, Tony said. It doesn't exist. We're all soldiers. The only color we know is khaki and green. The color of the mud and the color of the blood is all the same. And that's the same approach that I have always tried to take myself. And I probably have not always succeeded. But if you substitute for the word khaki, you substitute the word blue. And the color of blood is, of course, the same, no matter what color of the skin of the person. So at the end of the program, McGee said, 5 days after we left him, Captain Mavroidis was killed by an exploding landmine. And General Powell, in his autobiography, makes a point of writing about this, and he goes through that same theme several times in his book. So that's the book for today. I recommend that you read it. If you are, like me, a Vietnam veteran, then you will find the parts of it in which he describes his experiences in Vietnam to be of particular interest and of a particular identification. And I put this out in particular to my Army buddies that Truman has been good enough to let me be a part of. I missed two birthdays. One of them was the Navy's birthday. The other one was the Air Force birthday. I always like to recognize service birthdays because I always want our birthday to be recognized. That's Coast Guard Day, the 4th of August, every year. And so a happy birthday to all of my brothers and sisters in the Navy. The Coast Guard, of course, is the service around which the Navy musters in times of danger. And for the Air Force birthday, and it counts as birthday not from the time that it started out as part of the Army, but when it became an independent service in 1947. So happy birthday to the Navy, and happy birthday in particular to my Air Force friends who probably celebrated in their own off we go into the wild blue yonder way. I had such a good time last week with Mate Madeline, and I need to get from her the way that she wants to have her name pronounced. Is it Madeline? Is it Madeline? Each of us is entitled to be addressed by the pronunciation that we prefer for our own name. So I will find the answer to that. As we took our departure last week, I said, are you going to go back to sea pretty soon? And she said that she was going to be bidding on a couple of jobs that are coming up. And this idea of going into a union hall and bidding against jobs that are listed on a board is, of course, foreign to me and foreign to the way that we do assignment of both officers and enlisted personnel in our ships and our cutters. But that's the system under which she's working right now. And she said it may be as much as 5 months before I am able to come back on the broadcast. But the captain and the mate will go to sea again on that. And on that, do you have my hand? And we have a number of things that we want to talk about that we didn't get to. A couple of them pretty serious, and of course, I will get her to relate her adventures as she sails in merchant ships under the American flag. The Washington State ferry system continues to be a source of unhappiness and concern to all of us. First of all, if you live on the magical isle of Vashon, you can only get here by ferry. Notwithstanding my Mary R.'s insistence that they build a bridge for her, we were not able to get that accomplished, nor will it ever happen. I'm pretty confident of that. But because you can only get here by ferry, and the same is true up in the San Juans, and the people who live in the San Juans are real well and truly under serious problems, because the amount of ferry service up there, even in the best of times, is not particularly frequent. And there is a reservation system that is normally used. The reservation system is no longer in effect. So if you need to get back to your home on one of the San Juan Islands, you need to get in that ferry queue really early. And if you own a recreational vehicle where you can put the seats back, you can rest your eyes while you're waiting maybe through two or three cycles before you finally get home. Here on the magical isle of Vashon, the ferry service is much more frequent, but because they are unable to fill their billet structure with Coast Guard documented people, and that is a requirement, then they have cut back the amount of ferry service all over the system. I know that if they had been thinking ahead, as the virus and the events and the requirements connected with the virus were opening out, that they were thinking ahead and were developing a pool of people, even people that they may keep on retainer, people who would be able to have other possibly part-time jobs. Anyway, I'm not holding school of the boat here on how it could be done. I'm just saying that there certainly are things that could have been done and could have been done better, so that they would either not have to make these dramatic and drastic cuts in service, or those cuts need not be quite so dramatic and so drastic. The ferry system leadership has almost always been a political appointee and is sometimes a person who has no nautical experience and may well be a person who doesn't have much experience working with, in particular, the maritime unions. So I stand ready to manage the ferry system. I think a good hard 6 months with constant visitation out into the fleet. I lust in my soul to see the port captain, who's the senior captain, getting out and riding on his own ships. I had a really good thing happen to me. Many good things happen to me all the time. A case could be made in certain unkind quarters that two things. The first one is that there is a reason why this program is called From the Captain's Chair. On the bridge of all of my ships, except for the two smallest ones, there was a chair bolted down to the deck, an upholstered chair up high. You have to lift yourself up into it, that is sat in only by the captain and by those who he may invite to use it in his absence. And the captain's chair in my ships, where I would sit up in the chair, there would be nothing, there is nothing more satisfying to a captain than to be sitting up in the chair, let's say at the beginning of the morning watch at 4 o'clock in the morning, and the smell of baking and fresh coffee coming up from the galley comes up to the bridge, and the ship starts to come alive. The bright work up on the bridge is being polished by the bridge watch that doesn't have other duties. And nothing more satisfying to a commanding officer than to sit in his chair and feel and smell and hear the sounds of his ship coming alive for the new day. It is true that I would occasionally doze off. And in the first of unkind things, it is alleged in certain unkind quarters that as I would doze off in the captain's chair, enjoying all of the sounds and smells and sights of my ship coming alive for the new day, that I would doze off and that there were unseemly sounds coming from the captain's chair. I don't believe this to be the case, but that is what the legend is, and that was what was circulated around down in the mess decks. The old man is up in the chair and he is snoring away. The second unkind thing that, and this is again of my own doing, is that sometimes I am not as attentive to my duty, especially when it comes to dealing with and working with other people, because sometimes we never get it right all the time. But I had a really good thing happen to me. And so the unkind thing is that there are certain unkind quarters who would say, well, the captain really doesn't deserve to have all of those good things happen to him. And there is a measure of truth in that. We can discuss that at greater length at some future time. But the good thing that happened to me was that I was having lunch with a friend in the hardware store restaurant here in the magical isle of Vashon. And a lovely young lady came over to me, and she was holding a book in her hand. And I knew right away who it was, and it was Maribel's mother. Now, you all will remember, those of you who are faithful followers of the Voice of Vashon will know that I did a videotape of one of my lighthouse tours, and I did it with Maribel, in which we did the tour of the lighthouse together. And Maribel and her mother and her father, and then while they were living there, her brother Docton, were our caretakers out at Point Robinson. And during that time, the family broke apart. Maribel, however, remained, to my knowledge, the lovely young lady that she was. And so this was her mom, Julia, who came over to me at the table. And she said, "Captain Joe, I've just written a book about the things that have happened to me in my life." And she said, "I want you to know how much you helped me." And I was examining my conscience as to what I could possibly have done that was helpful to her. And then I realized that one of the things that had happened was that we provided a place for them to live and for them to be safe, and a wonderful experience for the two children. So the book is going to be my book probably next week. But in the meantime, it was a wonderful thing to have Julia come over and give me a signed copy of it. and to tell me that. And I said, how are the children doing? And she said, Maribel is now in middle school and soon will go into high school. It never fails to just slam me right in the midsection when that happens. The children who were to me 8 and 9 and 10, somehow in my heart and mind, I believe they're going to remain 8 and 9 and 10. And of course, that's not ever what happens. So I was delighted to hear that both of the children are doing well, that they're thriving, even under the circumstances of their parents no longer being together. So the second thing that happened was with Maribel's father. I was having dinner with some friends in the restaurant that her father, Jake, owns a piece of. It is called the Ruby Brink, and I recommend it. If you like a restaurant that has small plates kind of dinner, that's what they have, and they also have a little butcher shop. So I was having dinner in Ruby Brink with some other friends. And Jake came over to the table, and we talked at some length. He was really busy. The restaurant was busy. I'm delighted to see that the restaurants on Vashon are starting to pick up business again. And I asked him the same question, how are the children doing? And he gave me essentially the same answer, that they're doing really, really well. And I said, well, I saw Julia yesterday, and she told me that Maribel is in middle school and is, of course, not too long off before she goes to high school. And Jake said, yes, and she is just doing beautifully. So it warms the cockles of the black heart of this old sea captain to get news of people who have been a big part of my life here on the Magical Isle. And so I take this time to recommend Jake's restaurant, to thank both Jake and Julia for managing the less happy parts of their lives so as to have minimal impact on the children. And I am just... was delighted to have such good news of the entire family. The Maersk shipping line, it's the same line that Madeline, I'll get that sorted, sails in. There are several ships in the Maersk line which are under the U.S. flag, and those are the ones in which she sails. But the company itself is a Danish company, and it is pleading with all of their customers to please return the empty containers. There are empty containers backed up all over the world. This is one of the reasons why there is a backlog of ships waiting to get into ports like the Port of Los Angeles. There are, as of Friday, 665 container ships at anchor, waiting to enter ports all over the world. And outside the Port of Los Angeles, they remain at anchor for about 12 days before they can get alongside. The captains are having a hard time keeping the crews occupied. I could tell them how they could do it, is pay them for work hours other than their watch time, and get some of that deferred deck maintenance done that can be done by people who are not technicians. It bothers me a lot to see ships like the Lurline ship, the Matson Line ships, which were so beautiful up until they no longer ran the passenger ships. And now they have fallen on evil times, and Madeline and I talked a little bit about that because she sailed in Matson Line ships. So Maersk is saying, please return all the empties, but not to the port of Felixstowe. And Felixstowe is the largest and busiest port in the United Kingdom. And the article that I read, it was, I believe, on G Captain, that one of the terrible things that will happen if they can't get this flowing is that there'll be a shortage of Christmas toys. Christmas toys coming from China. One of the shortages also are people to drive the trucks, or as they're called in the UK, lorries. And so all over the magical Isle of Vashon, there are help wanted signs out. There is lots and lots of work out there. It's for skilled people. It's for unskilled people. It is for people who want to develop skills. And so it is time for everybody to get back to work. The magazine this week is once again The Week. I was put on to The Week by my friend and colleague in the Kingdom of Sweden, Professor and Dr. Mark. And in particular, I always go to the middle section, which is called Best Properties on the Market. And I always look in particular for houses that are for sale in Cambridgeshire. Oh, The Week, by the way, is a UK magazine. It captures press releases from all over the world and puts them into this wonderful magazine. It takes for it to get here about 10 days, so it's about 10 days behind. But the houses for sale are still for sale. So here's one that there are none this week in Cambridgeshire for sale. But this one is in Worcestershire. It is called the Bellington House in Harbington. And it dates back to the 15th century, to the 1400s. And it has a main suite. It has four other bedrooms. It has two other baths besides the one that's with the main suite. I can tell you, by the way, that heads that are put into houses that go back to the 15th and 16th century are, I think we could say, rudimentary. And it has a barn converted to offices and stores. It has a trout pond, a tennis court, pasture and stables, and 19 acres, and it is on sale for £1.7 million sterling. And if you can live in a 15th century house, it, by the way, does not have a thatched roof. In fact, this week there are no thatched roof houses, but in Cambridgeshire there are lots of thatched roof houses. Many things yet to get to, and here I am at 12:59 already. So it remains then for me, as I do every week. It is my wish and my desire, my command. If you haven't gotten your booster, I am headed for my booster over to the Methodist Church in just a few minutes. And if you haven't gotten your booster, or if you haven't gotten your shots, I urge you to do so. It is not just for you, it is for everybody around you, and it is really, really important. We've had too many people get sick, and I have grieved enough for this year. So, if you have people for whom you are responsible, watch their six, take care of each other. Know that your captain is, as always, on station and watching properly. And we will meet again here next week, exactly the same time, in the same place, from the captain's chair. We never say goodbye. We say until we meet.